Advocates are calling for the ending of the practice of placing prisoners in solitary confinement. With prisons in Queensland and Victoria on lockdown due to the risk of spreading COVID-19, human rights activists are concerned about how this confinement will impact on the mental health of prisoners. Toby Hemmings has the story.
Debbie Kilroy knows more about solitary confinement than most.
So as a child that was locked up, criminalised and imprisoned at 13 and spent most of the time in and out until I was 17 in the youth prison, I spent most of my time in solitary confinement. What I experienced then and what people tell me they experience now, nothing's changed in that sense.
Debbie is now a solicitor and the CEO of Sisters Inside, an organisation that works to secure the release of women and girls from correctional facilities.
So one of the young women that I got released today has been sitting in solitary confinement because she's been in the youth prison.
Solitary confinement goes by many names in the Australian correctional system: isolation, safety order, detention orders and lockdown. Under international human rights, it involves a person spending up to 23 hours a day without meaningful human contact.
It's often about the size of a single car park spot that people will be detained in solitary confinement.
Monique Hurley is a senior lawyer at the Human Rights Law Centre. They're one of the many human rights organisations calling for an end to the practice based on how it harms prisoners with mental health issues.
The easiest thing for prison authorities to do, rather than helping people and really dealing with the underlying causes of why people are behaving in a certain way, is to subject them to solitary confinement.
For Debbie Kilroy, this demonstrates how prisoners aren't provided with appropriate mental health support.
The behaviour comes from the illness that they carry. However, they're punished in a prison and they're put in solitary confinement. And so they decompose, you know, psychologically very, very quickly.
Solitary confinement disproportionately impacts on Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders because they are overrepresented already in prison populations.
When we have a lot of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander women that are very unwell with mental illness and the behaviours that they display, they're always going to be punished. Sometimes they're even deemed bad, not mad, in that context, and so they don't get access to the proper mental health services because they're deemed that the behaviour is actually bad and they're deliberately behaving that way, so they're punished even more harshly.
Sometimes prison authorities will say that people need to be placed in these conditions for their own safety or for the safety of others.
Sophie McNeil, Australia researcher for Human Rights Watch.
But what we've found is that this can have a long-term damaging impact on individuals, and it can actually really exacerbate mental health conditions.
Research from the University of Queensland has shown that the mental health of prisoners in solitary confinement deteriorates and that the practice leads to lasting mental health issues. For Sophie McNeil, this only exacerbates the harms inflicted on prisoners.
The fear is that rather than prison being a rehabilitation for prisoners who do show signs that they can come back into community and contribute, that it actually is exacerbating their problems and making them worse. And so in the long run, it's not safer for society. It's not safer for our community.
Since the first instances of COVID-19 were found in Australia, prisons have been identified as places with the potential for rapid spread due to overcrowding and confined areas. Debbie Kilroy has been dealing with this issue firsthand.
Some staff at the youth prison at Wacol had tested positive, so then all the children were locked down. So they and every one of them being tested and they're all negative. But they're not allowed out of their units.
Advocacy groups have repeatedly called for state governments to release selected prisoners to reduce overcrowding and the extreme risk of potentially spreading COVID-19. Instead, prisons have gone into lockdown, which effectively means all prisoners are placed in solitary confinement, giving them a greater risk of mental harm.
So it becomes very difficult when we have a prison that is mandated by the chief medical officer to say that everyone must be quarantined, which is another word for solitary confinement. But police are still arresting children and refusing bail and putting them into solitary confinement.
Monique Hurley questions whether this is appropriate.
It's really difficult to understand how a practice that causes such significant harm to people, that's well documented around the world, can form part of a so-called public health response.
For Sophie McNeil, it benefits wider society to find less punitive and harmful ways of dealing with prisoners.
You often hear people say that you can judge a society by how you treat its most vulnerable. It's actually in our long-term interest for people to come out of prison in a better place.
Sophie McNeil, Australian researcher for Human Rights Watch, ending that report from Toby Hemmings.